When somebody is called into a courtroom to be a witness, we understand that this person plays a very important role for the case. The testimony that he or she gives can greatly affect the outcome of the case. Now, why are the witnesses so important? Well, the judge and the jury have to make a determination as to what happened. You know, the cause, the motivation, or other pertinent details. Details that they may not know beyond a shadow of a doubt. But when we have reliable witnesses who can explain what they have seen and heard pertaining to the people and events associated with the case in question, they can help to clarify what has occurred so that others can make a more accurate judgment. You see, the witnesses have seen and heard things that other people have not. The information they have, you see, comes from firsthand experience. But in order for their information to benefit others, the witnesses must proclaim what they have seen and heard. They can't just keep it to themselves. If we don't have solid proof of what has transpired, then it helps to have trustworthy witnesses who can tell us what they know. Now, there may be times when someone cannot know for certain what has happened because the witnesses have given conflicting testimonies. For instance, last year when we stayed at an Airbnb house, the owner sent us pictures of some broken light fixtures, fixtures that her cleaning lady found broken when she entered into the room. Now, the owner called and questioned me as to how the lights broke, but I was surprised as to what happened as well. I told her, well, the fixtures weren't broken when we left. The cleaning lady, however, assured the owner that, yes, they were broken when she came into the house. So the evidence was clear. There were broken lights in that room, but the testimony from both of the witnesses didn't seem to line up in order to determine and confirm the cause. Now, could the fixtures have been broken after we left and before she came in? Possibly, but it didn't seem likely. The doors were locked. It didn't look like there was a break-in. So the owner had to make a judgment call. I tried to assure her that we didn't break the lights. The cleaning lady said she didn't do it either. And since the owner knew the cleaning lady and never had an experience with her breaking anything or being deceitful, she chose to believe her word over ours. Now, I understood her rationale, you know, but the situation still upset us. We offered to pay for the damage, even though we felt innocent. We saw that the evidence and the testimony against us seemed unfavorable. So rather than just get into a big legal battle, which would cost more money and possibly add to the hostility and anxiety, we just wanted to make it right. Now, this event has helped me to appreciate the need for testimony from a reliable witness. False witnesses are a reality in our world. And we need to be committed to tell the truth of what we have seen and heard so that other people will believe. I'll be reading today from Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. This is God's holy word. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we covered the passage immediately before this a passage that focused on the angel's message to the shepherds. They had a message from God that needed to be told, and they had a very strong desire to deliver this message to the people who needed to hear it. But here we see that the focus now shifts to the shepherds and how they responded to their message. The shepherds became witnesses of one of the most amazing events imaginable. They saw and heard this host of angels praising God and proclaiming the good news that the Savior, the Messiah, had finally come. Now, the first angel also gave them details about where they could find the Messiah, how they would recognize him, that they would find him in Bethlehem, that he would be a newborn wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger. Now, not only did the shepherds see the angels and hear their message, but they believed them. Now, it's not very reassuring when a witness doesn't believe what he has seen. He'd have a hard time convincing someone else of the truth if he doesn't even believe it. Now, it would have been quite a privilege just to witness these angels speaking this message from God. And yet the shepherds were blessed beyond this. You see, they were some of the first people to witness the Messiah. The shepherds had been given enough information to successfully find Jesus, and they were excited to make the journey. Now, we don't have evidence that they even took the time to make arrangements for their sheep. All we know is that they went with haste. They were in a hurry to go to Bethlehem. As they said, we want to see this thing that has happened. They obviously believed the angels, but their joy increased when they found Jesus. They found Jesus and his parents just as they had been told. They experienced incredible things that night, things that Abraham, David, and the prophets had longed to see but did not come to pass in their lifetime. And yet here we see the shepherds of all people were shown this favor from God. The things that they saw and heard increased their faith in God and increased their love for Christ. What happened to the shepherds is the same thing that can happen to anyone who encounters the Lord. This experience changed them. They witnessed the Lord Jesus, and their hearts were filled with joy and faith. Now, when we read through this account in Luke chapter 2, it's easy to kind of distance ourselves from the events that transpired. You know, we might read this passage and see it as just an orderly historical narrative, thinking to ourselves, okay, this happened, and then this happened, and finally that, got it. So it might be helpful for us if we actually consider what these shepherds were thinking and feeling that night. They had been given news about the Savior, and they had a choice as to what they were going to do with this news. They could go and tell friends and family members about what happened. And how would they react? Would they encourage the shepherds, or would they even believe them? They can go and tell the religious leaders, but that might lead to a line of questioning. They might face indignation and jealousy from some people who felt that God would have given a message like this to them rather than to a group of dirty shepherds. Or the shepherds could have heard the message from the angels and decided, you know, we're just going to be satisfied staying here in this field and just speaking about it amongst ourselves. They could still remain grateful, believing what they had heard, and waiting to see if anything else transpired in the future. But they didn't do these things. They didn't immediately go and tell the news to others. And they didn't just keep it to themselves. But instead, they traveled to Bethlehem. They found Jesus and his parents. And then they spoke of the things that God had shown them. In other words, they saw and heard. They believed. Then they acted in faith according to what they had witnessed. And then they proclaimed the truth to other people. So what is Luke trying to communicate to us about this experience that the shepherds had? Well, as I said earlier, these common men were privileged to be some of the first witnesses of the Messiah. They saw the incarnate Lord. That is, God came and dwelt among them in human flesh, and this filled them with great joy. What we also see here is something that holds true in many other circumstances. Those who have exciting news want to share their news with others. As Luke says, they made known the saying that had been told to them. And those who heard it were amazed by what the shepherds were saying. Now, it's not always easy to share important news. Sometimes we feel obligated to share bad news. Or sometimes we have something to say that can make somebody feel awkward or a little bit ashamed. But here we see that the shepherds were delighted to share their news. They felt confident that God was doing amazing things for his people by sending the Messiah so that they would have this hope of salvation and redemption. And lastly, we see that this news caused the shepherds to leave that place with an attitude of worship. They went home glorifying and praising God. Now, this is a common reaction for those who encounter the Lord Jesus and trust that he has come to be our Savior. Now, as the story of the incarnation continues, we see that there were other people who witnessed Jesus as well. Even though their experiences were different from what the shepherds encountered, their reactions were very similar. As I read earlier, just a few verses beyond our passage, Luke introduces us to a man named Simeon. We see that Simeon was a God-fearing man, righteous and devout. He was a Jew from Jerusalem, probably familiar with prophecy, especially Isaiah 40 that proclaims the consolation of Israel, that is the comfort promised to God's covenant people. And God had a special purpose for Simeon. He sent the Holy Spirit to him to assure Simeon that he would encounter the Messiah during his lifetime. Luke then tells us that Simeon was led by the Spirit into the temple, and his eyes were open to the truth about the identity of this child named Jesus. He believed what the Holy Spirit was telling him, that Jesus is the Messiah. So here again, after he sees and believes, we see that this witness did not merely keep his knowledge to himself. Like the shepherds in the passage earlier, Simeon shares his news with Joseph and Mary. Now, there were probably other people nearby who heard what Simeon had to say about God, about the child, and about this salvation that God has prepared for all peoples, both Jews and Gentiles alike. So just like the shepherds, Simeon was a witness of the incarnation. He saw Jesus. He heard about him through the Holy Spirit. He believed the truth of God's revelation. He proclaimed what he knew to the child's parents. And then he worshiped God for the things that he saw and heard. So this tells us that Simeon was a faithful witness. And not only did he tell us what he knew about Jesus, but his words also confirm what the other witnesses, the shepherds, had already proclaimed, that the Messiah had come. Immediately after Simeon's encounter, Luke says, at that very hour, we read about another person who witnessed the incarnation, a prophetess named Anna. Now, we don't exactly know what God had revealed to her up to this point, but evidently she felt compelled to worship God in the temple day after day. We are told that she was fervently seeking God through fasting and prayers. Now, this tells me that she was passionate about God's will. And she probably expected God to act in a clear and favorable way toward his people, and hopefully in the near future. The Jews, you see, had long been awaiting the Messiah, and I get the sense that a select portion of these Jews believed that God was about to do something big in his centuries-old story of redemption. And it seems to me that Anna had this kind of a great expectation, and God would reward Anna for her faithfulness. She saw Jesus, and she recognized him as the Messiah. And then, as was the case with all the other witnesses we've encountered, Anna would not be silent regarding the things that she had witnessed. She spoke with the other people that she knew, those who were anticipating the one whom God would send to bring redemption for his people. She was excited to tell them that he had come, that she saw him at the temple, and his name is Jesus. So we see that this witness shared her testimony. Now, she shared this testimony not to convince other people to turn to God and believe in the Savior, but to encourage those who already believed in God. And likewise, we who trust in Christ can be encouraged when we hear other believers speak of the things that they have seen and heard, which God has done for them. Now, the Bible gives us a few more accounts of different people who witnessed the incarnation or who were told that the Messiah was soon to come. Earlier in Luke's gospel, we are told of a Jewish couple who received news of the Messiah's coming. God revealed this message through the angel Gabriel to a priest named Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. Now, at first, if you remember, Zechariah had a hard time believing what the angel was saying to him. Later on, however, he did believe, and then he gave this amazing prophecy speaking of the Lord who was coming to his people, and that Zechariah's own son would go before him and prepare the people to meet the Lord. We also read in Matthew's gospel about the Magi, who were led to believe that this Jewish prophecy was being fulfilled because they saw this star pointing them to the foretold king of the Jews, the scepter rising from Jacob. They saw the signs. They believed that these signs had divine meaning. And then they acted upon their belief by going to a distant land where they would be led to Jesus. And what did they do when they witnessed the incarnate Lord? Well, Matthew doesn't explicitly say this, but we can assume that they told Jesus' parents how they were miraculously led to this place, trusting that God had fulfilled prophecy, sending the one born king of the Jews. But here's an action from the Magi that we can be sure of. When they arrived at their place and they saw Jesus there, they worshiped him. So in all of these accounts I've brought up today, not only were the witnesses of the incarnation compelled to proclaim what they saw, but they also were filled with an attitude of worship. This is the difference between witnessing some normal event and as opposed to witnessing the Lord Jesus. Those who witness Jesus become worshipers. Now, one of the main takeaways that I find in all of these passages is that we should be grateful for those who prove to be faithful witnesses of the Lord Jesus. I'm reminded here of a familiar verse in Paul's second letter to Timothy, in which Paul gives an important directive for those who encounter the truth of the gospel. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So Paul is telling us that when we hear and believe the gospel, we shouldn't merely keep it to ourselves. We are to take what we've heard and pass it on to others so that the truth will just keep spreading further and further. Jesus also told his disciples, to let their light shine before others rather than hiding it under a basket. Now, in that context, he was speaking specifically of doing good works publicly. But when we consider that the word light can be used as an analogy of the gospel, since it reveals truth to those who have been darkened by sin and ignorance, we ought to speak this message to others so that they will hear and believe the good news of Jesus. Remember what the angels said to the shepherds. They were bringing a message of good news, which will be for all the people. As Jesus told his disciples, the gospel is to go to the ends of the earth. And friends, that's what's been happening up to this very day. Now, I want us to consider an important question this morning. How do we even know about Jesus? Did Jesus appear to you visibly and you observed him as he ministered to the different people over a 3-year period? That was the case for a select group of people 2,000 years ago. But that is not the normal way in which the Lord chooses to reveal himself to his people. We know about Jesus because faithful witnesses have passed on the truth of what they have seen and heard. Many different people saw Jesus throughout his life, and they could confirm the stories that were told about him or the things that had been written about him. There are several details of the incarnation story recorded for us in Scripture, and not by just one author, but by two, Matthew and Luke. Now, one author was a close disciple of Jesus, and he witnessed much of Jesus' ministry. And the other compiled details of Jesus' life from those who knew him well. Luke received much of his information from the apostles. And then Jesus' life, ministry, sacrificial death, and resurrection have been further detailed by these two men, as well as two others who knew Jesus well. So we see that it's beneficial to have eyewitness testimony so that we can help, so we can better understand the truth of what has happened. But God's word tells us that we can be even more confident when several witnesses tell us what they know, and their details don't contradict one another. In the New Testament, we have testimony about Jesus from several different authors, all of whom affirm what the rest are saying. And we can further trust them to be faithful witnesses, knowing they had nothing to selfishly gain through their writings. In fact, they were putting their lives on the line by sharing their belief that Jesus is Lord. Many Christians who spoke this truth were killed by those who opposed the church. So friends, we should be extremely grateful that courageous believers were willing to share what they saw, what they heard, and what they believed to be the truth. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. In this sermon, we initially considered that the shepherds proved to be faithful witnesses of the incarnation. They heard a message, and they believed it. And then they went a step further, and they acted upon their belief, searching for Jesus and finding him. And when they saw him, they spoke about their experience to others. They proclaimed the truth of what they witnessed. And lastly, when they witnessed Jesus and believed the truth about him, they worshiped the Lord. And we see this pattern continue for several other witnesses of the incarnation. They encounter Christ, they see and hear about him, they believe the truth that he is Lord and Savior, they proclaim what they have seen and heard, also proclaiming their faith in him, and they are compelled to worship God. So friends, let's apply this lesson to ourselves. Are we faithful witnesses of the incarnate Lord? No matter what, all of us here are witnesses. We have heard the truth of the gospel, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, so that we who have sinned against a holy God can receive God's grace, his forgiveness of sins, and eternal life, if we trust in Jesus, if we abide with him by faith. So then how do we respond to this information? Will we just keep it to ourselves? Or will we joyfully worship the Lord and share this good news with others? Let us not be fearful or selfish witnesses, but instead let us proclaim the truth as a multitude of joyful, grateful witnesses, trusting that God will work through our message, which he has given to us, so we know that it's true. Praying that many more people would come to faith in Christ. And then we can encourage them to be faithful witnesses who can teach others the truth of the gospel. This is our commission. And we trust Jesus' words that he will be with his people always to the end of the age and throughout all eternity. Let's pray. Father, these passages remind us that you have visibly revealed yourself to some privileged individuals. These people who saw the child Christ, believing him to be the Messiah. And they didn't just keep this information to themselves, but the truth spread out from there so that many more would hear and believe. God, help us to have that same kind of attitude. We have all witnessed the truth. We have heard the things about you. We have read these things with our own eyes in your word. Let us not keep these truths to ourselves, but let us bring this truth to others so that your kingdom would advance, because we know that faith comes through hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. Let us be faithful witnesses, Lord. And not only that, let us be worshiping witnesses for all who hear of you and believe will be filled with an attitude of joy and gratitude, expressing just our thanks to you, praising you for what you have done. This is the message that we need to hear, not only at Christmas time, but all throughout the year, that you came and dwelt among us. We can believe this to be true. And so, God, we pray that you would increase our faith and give us the courage to live according to your will for us. Amen.